Welcome to the Big Mike Fund Podcast, where you learn about advanced wealth building strategies from real estate investing to creating massive ROI and secured retirement profits. So pour yourself a cup of coffee, grab a notepad, and lean in, because Big Mike has got the mic, starting now.
Welcome to the Big Mike Fund Podcast. I'm the Big Mike. Today, it is my distinct pleasure and a privilege to welcome Larry Goins to the podcast. Hi, Larry.
What's happening? How you been?
I'm great. How about you?
Man, I'm doing awesome. Awesome. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, likewise. Short introduction for Larry. Larry is a brother from the Collective Genius Mastermind. He's one of the veterans. I've known Larry for many years. He's one of those very, very experienced real estate people. He's done it for over 30 years. He served as a president of Metrolinx Real Estate Investors Association in Charlotte, North Carolina. And it's a nonprofit that serves 350 members in the real estate field. Larry is a well-known master blaster of the HUD investing. He's also a master blaster of the seller finance investing. And he just calls it Filthy Riches, and it's a wonderful name, but it's extremely powerful technique. So I wanted to say, Larry, thank you for coming on the podcast once again. And we'll talk a little bit about your biggest accomplishments, your strengths, and your advanced techniques. So tell us a little bit about you. What are your best hobbies? What are your life is like in Charlotte, North Carolina?
Well, I'm actually in Lake Wylie, South Carolina, which is just across the state line from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Got it.
But I do like, I mean, I love real estate and I love business. So that's really kind of not only my passion, but my hobby as well. But also, we live on the lake, so we have wave runners and boats and stuff like that. And I also have a Harley and ride that whenever I get a chance. We do travel some. I know you just got back from an 11-day cruise in the Caribbean, which is awesome. Yeah. Yeah, I bet the whole fam had a lot of fun with that, didn't they?
No kidding. You can't. Had a difficult time coming back to New York. The weather in New York was pretty cold. And,
Well, this is the time of year to go on a Caribbean cruise if you live up north.
Yeah, for sure. It's so funny. They run these 11-day cruises out of New York only in the spring. They don't run 11 days any time of the year. Spring is the time to go. I think they do some in the fall as well. But I'm glad to hear you ride Harley and you enjoy the lake. That's the best kind of a lifestyle.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Away from the big cities, living the life of quiet enjoyment.
Unlike where you are, it takes a long time to get, you know, to an office or whatever. You know, a big commute, a lot of traffic. I don't have to worry about that at all.
Yeah, that's the beauty of life. I wanted to get away from the big city, but not yet. One of these days.
Yeah, you got to come down here and see us. We'll hang out. Go riding some bikes.
I appreciate your gracious invitations. Likewise, you should come to New York. I'll treat you to some good Russian food.
Oh, man, that would be awesome.
Vodka and caviar. You know, I almost called this show, I had a suggestion to call the show Cash and Caviar, but decided to call it the Big Mike Fun Podcast. But
well, I like Big Mike. That's good.
So let me start with the number one question. What's the most successful deal you've ever done in real estate?
I wholesaled a house and made $75,000 one time.
That's it?
That's not bad. You know,
that's great.
Yeah. Well, you know, I bought it for $700 and sold it for $775. It was in Pensacola, Florida, and I only had $500 put up as a deposit. The only downside was I wish I would have done it in an IRA. If I would have done it in an IRA, it would have been much better of a deal, right?
Yeah, it'd be slam dunk. No taxes.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, that sounds great. So did you use one of your advanced techniques for this? Is it one of the things you teach folks how to do?
You know, I've written a few books and I've traveled around to speak at different groups and expos and conventions. I've pretty much done about everything, whether it's wholesaling, retailing, fix and flips, lease options, subject to, short sales. I've done private money. I've done, you know, hard money. I've done, you know, just a lot of different things, commercial, multifamily. I own the building that I'm in here now, and we occupy about a third and lease out the rest of it. So there's not really anything about real estate that I haven't run across or done over the years. But I do like to focus on residential, and I do like to focus on two things, wholesaling and seller financing. And that was a wholesaling deal that I can't even remember where that lead came from. It came, you know, I mean, we're in South Carolina and it came from Florida. You know, it could have been a student sent it to me, or someone sent it out on a broadcast list or something, and I saw it and turned around and sold it. But there's just a ton of ways, as you know, to get deals.
Yeah, for sure. I guess in today's very competitive real estate market, you have to be the marketer as the number one job. Less of a real estate investor, more of a marketer. If you're a successful marketer, you can find deals. You'll figure out how to monetize them.
That's so true. You know, it doesn't make any difference if we're selling cars or vacuum cleaners or houses. You've got to market. You know, all we're trying to do is sell the seller. Most people, if they're selling cars or vacuum cleaners or whatever, they're marketing to try to find buyers. We're just marketing to try to find sellers.
It is sort of a seller's market. Once you get the property on the contract, you can find a way to move it. So let's talk a little bit about your seller finance techniques. So that's the area of humongous wealth, where you can buy a house, then wrap existing mortgage, or just create seller financing. Can you talk a little bit about the basics of seller financing? How do you make money? Could you give the audience an example of a classic deal of a seller finance deal?
Absolutely. I've got a model that I call filthy riches, okay? It's about buying rundown cheap houses that are livable or close to livable, okay? They're not dog with fleas. They're not blower uppers. They're not in a war zone. But, you know, we might pay $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000,
$30,000 for them. Can you still find them like this cheap nowadays?
Well, actually you can. Well, I should back up and say, you don't find them, you create them. For example, let's say one that we just got, it started out, it was listed for, I think, 49, they dropped it to 39, they dropped it to 29, and then we picked it up for $10,000, right?
Wow. Now, that's phenomenal.
Yeah. And then now you could turn around and sell that deal for 49 or 59. I mean, it was already listed on the market for that. Right? Small town USA. It's not going to be in the big MSA where there's a lot of competition. It's going to be in a smaller town, which is okay, but we'll find a buyer that'll pay us probably $59,900, and we'll get about $5,000 down, and then we'll carry the paper on that and owner finance it to them. Actually, we sell them either on a lease option or a land contract. Now, if it is fit and safe, meaning I can enter into a landlord-tenant relationship, then I'm going to do a lease option, right? Because if they're going to default, they're going to default in the first 1 to 2 years, okay?
That's right.
So I call them homeowners in training, right? So if they last 2 years, then I'll convert it over to a land contract. If the house is not fit and safe, like maybe it needs a water heater, you can't rent out a house to a tenant that needs a water heater, right? That's not being a good landlord. So I would sell that on a land contract, and I would still get $5,000 down, but then we would sell it on a land contract, and then if they would default, we would get them to sign a cancellation of land contract, and then we would just do it all over again.
Got it. So sale on a land contract, do they actually take the title to the property or no? Or the property goes into a trust, some kind of a trust, and they invest inside the trust?
It's really a very simple process. The good thing about a land contract, you think of it like this. When you get a contract on a property to buy it, you know, that contract is typically about 30 days long. And then at the end of the 30 days, you're going to close, you know, you're going to pay cash, and then you get the deed to the property. A land contract, or sometimes called a contract for deed, is just like that, except it might be 10 years or 15 or 20 years long, and it spells out that they're going to pay you X, like $59,900. They're going to put $5,000 down. They're responsible for taxes, for insurance, that we're going to finance it for them at 9% for, let's say, 20 years, and they use it for residential purposes, and they're going to take care of all repairs and maintenance. And then at the end of that 20 years, once they've paid us in full, then we're going to give them the deed to the property.
Got it. So it's a 30-year or 20-year long buy contract. And as long as they keep making payments, the contract is valid. If they stop making payments, they fail to fulfill the contract obligations, they basically at that point lose the contract and they are just a holdover tenant in the property.
Exactly. And our goal is we try to keep it 20 years or less. Okay. We don't ever do 25 or 30 years. We try to do them 10, 12, 15, sometimes 20 years.
Well, these inexpensive houses, they should be able to pay them faster because the balance is not that big. Theoretically speaking,
you would think, right?
Yeah, things in theoretical world versus real world, a little different.
That's so, right. That's so
yeah. That's a great technique. It is amazing how you can turn 10, 15, 20,000. You could mark them up more than double and sometimes triple. Or in this case, if you bought for 10 and sold for 59, you marked it up 6x.
Yeah, our goal is 3 to 6 times. That's our goal.
Wow, that's phenomenal. That's you can't do it on an expensive property, but you can do it on a fairly cheap property as long as it's in reasonable condition. It's not falling apart.
And that's the whole key to this whole model. I mean, it's impossible to buy a $100,000 house and sell it for $300,000 to $600,000, even with owner financing. But it's very feasible to buy a $20,000 house and sell it for $59,900, that's very feasible.
Yeah, I mean, this technique is a very powerful technique. I've spoken with a number of folks, and you very well know Eddie Speed from the CG Mastermind, and he's done plenty of these, and a number of other folks using this. And it's a very powerful technique. It works. It might need to be adjusted a little bit based on state laws. What works in North and South Carolina may not quite work in Texas and vice versa.
Well, but in Texas, the couple of key points, and I've done this in 12 different states, the key thing about Texas, number one, doesn't allow lease options for longer than 6 months, right?
Right.
Also, Texas does not allow land contracts.
Okay? So how do they do it in Texas? They put it in the trust?
No, they just do a mortgage. They just do a mortgage. And you know, the funny thing is they don't allow lease options and they don't allow land contracts, but there's more seller financing done in Texas than any other state in the U.S.
Well, Texas is humongous. So you can imagine then they have a lot of inventory.
Right. They do.
Yeah, this makes a lot of sense. I think it's a great technique. Let's talk a little bit about houses, how you buy them, how you sell them. What do you do with HUD houses and why HUD?
Well, I really like HUD because HUD is, I mean, we could do a whole series on nothing but HUD, but HUD is a daily auction. All HUD houses are purchased at HUDHomeStore.com and they're all listed with a realtor. They give you what's called a PCR report. That stands for property condition report. In other words, you know the major items that a house needs. Now, sometimes it's not always accurate, but they're going to let you know about the roof, the wiring, the plumbing, the kitchen, the bath, and all the major items, the appliances. So you're going to know about all the major items in a house, and all the bids are submitted at HUDHomeStore.com, and it's a daily auction. I mean, like what we do, we bid on every HUD house in North and South Carolina every single day, right? It's a daily auction. So if you don't get it today, you might get it tomorrow. In fact, I wrote a book called HUD Homes Half Off, How to Buy HUD Houses at 50, 40, even 30% of list price. I've actually bought HUD houses as low as 20% of list price.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So where would people buy this book? This sounds like a masterpiece. Is it on Amazon or is there a website they could go and pick up this book?
Well, it's actually on Amazon and it's in every bookstore, a lot of bookstores. But you can, what we can do is if your listeners would like a free copy, they could go to freehudbook.com. That's freehudbook.com. And if they want to just download the digital version, that's fine. If they would like the physical version, I'll mail it to them. They can pay shipping. But yeah, they can get a copy at freehudbook.com.
Thank you, Larry. I appreciate your generosity. I think it will be great for folks to learn the technique. So
awesome.
Let's move on. Let me ask you a couple of questions about. So we're talking about books. What's your most favorite book? I know. Let's just put one aside. Holy Bible. Let's just say that's number one. What's number two?
Oh, wow. I've got a ton
of books.
And of course,
yeah, you got a huge bookshelf. You have a lot of books.
I do. I've got a ton of them. So I really, really like the book called Lessons from the Richest Man Who Ever Lived. It's by Stephen K. Scott. It's all about Proverbs, basically. I mean, it's not a Christian book or religious book, but it is based on Proverbs, right? It's just how to do good business, how to live your life. It's really, really a good book, and it's called Lessons from the Richest Man Who Ever Lived.
Lessons from the Richest Man Who Ever Lived. Okay.
Right. That's Solomon. Yeah. I really like that book. There's a lot of books out there that I like. I try to read about one book a week. I like a lot of Grant Cardone stuff, you know, about sales and motivation. And I read one recently called The Four Disciplines of Execution.
40X. Yeah. I've read that book. That's a great book. Yeah.
It's a really, really good book. It is. And I personally have problems with focus. You know, and he talks about landing one plane at a time, right? So, you know, that's something that I'm always off doing 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 things at a time, and it seems like you get nothing done, right? I also like Traction, the book Traction. We run our business based on EOS, based on the book Traction and Rocket Fuel by Gino Wickman. Those are good books.
I know the book. I love the book too. We also run a business using some of the best techniques from the Traction. Those are both very strong execution books. From 40X, my biggest lesson, just talking about these two books, was that the outcomes are really controlled by the inputs. So you really need to focus on the inputs. If you can control inputs, you can control outputs. Most people just focus on the results, and they don't necessarily focus on what influences those results.
That's so true. That is so true. And you got to focus. You got to focus. But that's very hard for especially type A personalities and entrepreneurs. Most entrepreneurs have ADD, right?
Yeah, visionaries. They're not necessarily. Yeah.
Exactly.
The Traction is exactly the tool you need. And that's why, you know, the whole system talks about the visionary and then the integrator. The integrator is the person who runs the executioner in a good sense.
Right.
Yeah, that's a very important function in your business. Somebody who is able to run the business day to day, not just focus on the vision. So that's great. Another thing I wanted to ask you, what is your best productivity tool? So is there something that you really enjoy using, any app, anything that helps you be more successful on a day-by-day basis?
You know, that's a really good question. The very first thing that comes to mind is Evernote. I use Evernote every single day. Right?
Got it. Yeah.
It's a way to take notes, and they sync between your laptop, your phone, your desktop, and your, you know, iPad or whatever. And I love Evernote. I have a list of notes for pretty much everything, and it's really, really a good app. I mean, it's basic. Just about everybody knows about it by now, but yep. I really do like it. I really do like it.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's a great tool. Let me ask you one more or a couple more questions, and then we're going to wrap up. We're running tight time schedule. So what do you think about real estate market in general now? We were at the bottom after the crash. Then we recovered. We've been recovering for a long time, and many people complain the market has appreciated so much. It's so much harder to find deals. The interest rates seem to be creeping up. What is your opinion on the market in general? Obviously, real estate is local, and every market is different. You can comment on your own market where you live and where you do business, and what do you think in general?
Well, of course, I don't have a crystal ball, just like no one does, but I do know this.
I used to have one. I'm interrupting. Sorry. I used to have one, but it broke.
I used to say the same thing. That's funny you said that. But you know, listen, trees don't grow to the sky, and neither does the real estate prices, right?
Right.
Trees don't grow to the sky, right? So I know there's going to be a correction. You know there's going to be a correction. That's why I am a value buyer. I'm not a speculator. You know, if the real estate market is at the top, a lot of people, especially people who are in growth markets like Phoenix, California, and all those different areas, the problem is if they buy on speculation, right? They buy on speculation. The market is at the top. They think, oh, it's going to go up in another 6 months and I can sell it and make a profit. Well, when the market turns, those markets that go up the fastest also go down the fastest. So as long as I can stay below the market, no matter where it goes, if I'm below the market, I'm not going to get hurt. So I'm a value buyer and I always buy well below the market. It's not unusual for me to buy a house for, you know, 60, 50, 40, 30% of list price or of value. And that way, even if the market does turn, I'm not going to get hurt.
Yeah, I love your approach. I happen to agree. You buy projects where you have built-in appreciation, or you have built or forced appreciation, or you create appreciation by virtue of buying below the market. So when you buy,
that's exactly right.
Yeah, what do they say in real estate? You make the money on the buy, not on the sell. As most people don't realize, if you buy it right, you already bought some equity in the property to start with. And even if the market goes back down, you're still okay.
That's true. And if you know what you're doing, you can always buy value. That's the thing I've always admired about you, Mike, is you're really, really good at understanding deals, understanding value, and knowing how to put deals together and turn a bad deal into a good deal.
Yeah, I appreciate the kind word. Thank you. Yeah, I think the same way. Value investing, and also the second element that I really like is the cash flow investing. If you have a cash flow, you could survive. That even if the value goes down, who cares, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
So, yeah, I greatly appreciate that, Larry. We are out of time. I thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Any final words? And also, how would people find you if they wanted to learn a little bit more about your Filthy Riches program or your hot buying program? Or anything else? What's the best way to get a hold of?
Well, we mentioned that they could get a free copy of the book if they want to by going to freehudbook.com. If you want to learn more about the Filthy Riches model, how we get triple digit returns with these cheap houses, right? Now, it is more risky, right? And you got to put forth some effort. It's not passive investing by any means, but you can get some really good returns. You can sign up to get a 7-part training video series at filthyriches.com. Filthyriches.com.
Filthyriches.com. That's a great domain.
Well, Google doesn't like it. Neither does Facebook, but I do.
I like it. That's great. Larry, thank you so much. Any final word for the audience? Anything else?
Yeah, I just, there's so many people that listen to podcasts and watch YouTube videos and all that, but they never pull the trigger. You know, just find somebody you know, like, and trust, and latch on to them and learn as much as you can and pull the trigger and do something. Otherwise, you're going to be sitting on the sidelines the rest of your life. You got to actually do something. You got to pull the trigger and take action.
Larry, thank you so much. That's a great call to action. I appreciate you coming on the podcast, and thank you all for listening.
Thanks a lot. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Big Mike Fund Podcast. To receive your copy of Mike's How to Choose a Smart Real Estate Fund book, head to BigMikeFund.com or visit Amazon and type Mike's slot name. Keep listening and keep investing Big Mike style. See you on the next episode.